Hello and welcome to ID the Future. I'm Ray Bolin, and we have on the show today biologist Jonathan Wells. He's here to talk about, well, a whale of a tale, the Darwinian story of land mammal evolving to a whale. Glad to have you on today, Jonathan.
Happy to be here, Ray.
Well, Jonathan, you argue that Darwinism's whale evolution story is riddled with problems, and I'd like to explore some of these, but before we get there, there's been some recent discoveries, particularly of a whale fossil, that makes things difficult for Darwinism. Just a few years ago, an ancient whale fossil was found that seems to have made a bad situation worse. So I'd like to begin with that. What was the discovery, and in a nutshell, how did it spell fresh trouble?
Well, the initial problem was that fully aquatic whales, that is, mammals that live in their entire lives in the water, first occur in the fossil record about 40 million years ago, that is, up until recently. About 2 to 8 million years before that, we have land animals that have been put up to be ancestors of aquatic whales. So that left a gap of several million years, which was a problem because it takes a long time to evolve a land animal into a whale. Then a few years ago, a fully aquatic whale was found in Antarctica. And although the date is uncertain, the best estimate from that fossil is that it's probably about 49 million years old. So now instead of 40 million years ago, we have fully aquatic whales 49 million years ago, which greatly shortens or even eliminates the time allowed between the appearance of land animals and the appearance of fully aquatic whales.
Well, let's focus on some of that fossil evidence today. Typical land animals are said to have evolved from marine creatures, meaning fish to amphibian, to reptiles, to mammals and birds. But with whales, the story is flipped. In the evolutionary progression of mammals, whales have to have evolved from a land animal. So for our listeners who kind of are new to all this, why the reversal?
Well, based on the fossil record, first we have marine fish, then we have land animals, then we have aquatic mammals, whales. So based on the fossil record, it appears it would, in the evolutionary story, land animals would have evolved from fish, and then whales in turn would have evolved from land animals going the other way.
Okay.
So that's what the fossil record seems to indicate.
Well, as I think about this, going from land back to the sea, this seems to be a fairly easy transition to document. I mean, we're dealing with reasonably large animals, even in the earliest stages, and there has to be some major skeletal changes. So are there any fossil intermediates they use to support mammal-to-whale evolution?
Well, Darwin certainly had none. There were fully aquatic whale fossils available in Darwin's time, but nothing like an intermediate between the land animal and a whale. Then in the early 1980s, a fossil about the size of a wolf was found in Pakistan. It didn't look anything like a whale, but it had a peculiar bone in its ear called an involucrum. And until that point, the involucrum had been found only in whales, dolphins, and porpoises, which collectively are called cetaceans. So because this animal had this involucrum in its ear, it was named Pakicetus, or Pakistani cetacean. And it was then sort of plugged into the story of whale evolution as the land ancestor of modern whales.
And this was based solely upon a particular bone in the ear?
Yes.
Seems like pretty meager evidence to work with, but this dog-like creature that you mentioned, Pakicetus, obviously is just one of several supposed transitionals. I mean, Darwinists have to have other fossils in the show and tell, right?
Well, yes. Actually, critics of evolutionary theory, even after the discovery of Pakicetus, pointed out that there was a huge gap between Pakicetus and whales. But then in the intervening years, some other fossils were found. Specifically in 1994, Hans de Wissen and his colleagues found an animal that had legs that enabled it to walk on land, but a long tail that would have enabled it to swim like an otter in the water. So Thewissen and his colleagues named it Ambulocetus natans, or swimming, walking whale. And it appeared to be, they argued that it was an intermediate between Pachycetus and modern whales.
Okay. Is that pretty much the story? You've got Pachycetus, then this Ambulocetus, this kind of walking whale, as they called it. That seems still to be a bit of a gap to me.
Well, then some other fossils were found. I won't list all the names, but as they were being discovered, famous evolutionary biologist Stephen Jay Gould called it, quote, the sweetest series of transitional fossils an evolutionist could ever hope to find, unquote. Gould went on to say, quote, this sequential discovery of picture-perfect intermediacy in the evolution of whales stands as a triumph in the history of paleontology. I cannot imagine a better tale for popular presentation of science or a more satisfying and intellectually based political victory over lingering creationist opposition, end quote.
Sounds pretty confident.
Very. The sweetest series of transitional fossils we could ever hope to find. That's how Gould saw it.
Well, indeed, I have in front of me a preview copy of the Pearson High School biology text by Miller and Levine, and they prominently display a very convincing evolutionary tree, as many textbooks do, from land mammal to modern whales. It seems very nice and neat, very attractive illustrations from Pachycetus all the way to the modern whale. So, in general, what do you think of those kinds of presentations?
Well, they're highly imaginative, and they're designed more to indoctrinate than to actually educate. I've seen those series too, many of them. They are artists' conceptions of what these animals looked like and how they behaved, based on very incomplete fossils in most cases. Pachycetus, for example, is only known from its skull. So the artists take these fossils and draw these figures to make it look as though there's a gradual transition from Pachycetus to the whale. Well, actually, all of these animals below the whales were more like, at best, sea lions or otters. That is, basically land animals that spent some of their lives in the water. One problem with these series is that none of the intermediates could possibly be the ancestor of the ones that come later, because they all have features they would have to lose in order to become the ancestor. So if there are ancestors, these are not them. Another problem is that the animal that supposedly came before Pachycetus, which appears in some of these series, is an animal named Indohyus. Well, Indohyus is not a cetacean, but yet it has an involucrum in its ear. So originally the involucrum was used to name Pachycetus a cetacean, but here's an animal that has the involucrum that's not a cetacean. So we're left really with a rather arbitrary designation of cetacean just to squeeze these animals into this series to illustrate the theory of evolution.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Wells. And for ID the Future, this is Ray Bolin, and thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.